The sounds from the streets of Bangkok, Thailand today as protesters crowded in front of police headquarters in a second day of demonstrations. They're calling for the ouster of the government of Prime Minister Yingluck Shinawat. They want her removed from power, replaced by an unelected People's Council, but she says she has no intention of stepping down. The BBC's Jonathan Head joins us from Bangkok. Jonathan, welcome.
Hi, Jeremy.
Well, so what is the latest? This is the second day now of these much more severe protests in which the protesters have basically shut down the center of Bangkok, right?
Well, it's surprising how well the city's coping, actually. Obviously, there was time to plan for it. People have adjusted, and you've got to remember that the core supporters of this protest movement are the Bangkok middle class. They don't want to be that inconvenienced. They can use the mass transit system that goes through the middle of the city. A lot of them have taken the chance to have days off so they can join the protests. The mood has been still pretty good. We haven't heard too many complaints. And they've been quite practical, the protesters. They got large numbers of people out on Monday. The second day, well, there weren't so many. A lot of those people had to go back to work, but they've got enough people to be able to block off these absolutely key intersections that keep traffic out of the city centre. And they're trying to keep it going. I think they can. They don't need huge numbers to be able to keep these roads blocked. They've blocked them not just with people. They've got stages across the roads. They've got piles of sandbags, lots of metal barriers they've brought up. It's all very well organised. But the government, too, seems to be willing simply to wait this one out. They've ordered the police to offer no resistance at all, for there to be no chance for any clashes. They don't want any violence. Each side is eyeballing the other and waiting, I think, to see who blinks first. Now, the government has offered a meeting. It's invited the protest leaders and the main opposition party, the Democrats, to discuss the election that is scheduled for the 2nd of February, saying it would consider a recommendation that perhaps it delay that election. It's only 2.5 weeks away, and of course, conditions are not really very good for an election. So far, it doesn't look as though that meeting is going to achieve much because the protesters have said, nope, they're not interested. Of course, they don't want any election at all at the moment. They want elected governments to be suspended while they say an appointed committee should reform the country. But there's no real sign of tension or violence, and people in Bangkok are, by and large, enduring this with pretty good humour.
The protesters don't want any election because they wouldn't win one right now, right?
Well, that's absolutely true, and you know, it's easy to be cynical about it. They are backed by the Democrat Party, so-called, although it seems to have backed out of this election. It's the second time it's boycotted one. The Democrats haven't won an election for more than 20 years. Their argument is that elections aren't enough for a democracy. They say you need to have adequate checks and balances, and they say with good reason that they don't work in Thailand. It's not just in Thailand they don't work. In large parts of the developing world, this region in Southeast Asia, where you have democracies, you find that elected governments get away with all sorts of things that they wouldn't in Western countries or in the United States. But their argument is it's gone too far, that there's this one party, the current governing party, that's won 5 elections in a row. And when it's in power, they say it rides roughshod over the opposition. It over-dominates all the supposedly independent institutions, and that it is very corrupt and it spends money in the wrong ways. That's its argument. And they say until there is reform of Thailand's political institutions, they don't think an election answers anything. The problem is that they don't really have a very viable alternative. This idea of an appointed committee falls apart the moment you look at it, because the question is who would appoint this committee? And even if this committee came up with substantive reforms in a quick period, and that's unlikely, would all those millions of people who voted for this government accept that? Would they accept their government being ousted, which is what the protesters want? I've spent quite a bit of time with the government supporters. You know, they're organising themselves to resist with force any attempt to unseat the government except via an election. So, you know, the country is polarised, and these protesters, while they get quite large numbers out, remember, they do not represent a majority of the country, and there will be real resistance if they achieve their goal of forcing the government out. It's not clear when that might happen, but they're putting an awful lot of pressure on the government. And this is a government that cannot count on the support of the army, and where the police are demoralised, badly trained, not good at crowd control, and know that if they fight with the protesters and there are casualties, the army might very well step in and launch a coup.
So the army has not taken a side here, and the king, right, the highly revered king, has not taken a side in this either.
No, the army says it's neutral. It says it wants to avoid bloodshed at all costs. But there are elements in the army that are very, very hostile to this government. And most notably, you think about another country where protesters have essentially shut down your capital city, as the police have been are under orders to do nothing and are really not capable of doing it, that's when you'd expect the army to step in. And not for the first time, the army is making it clear it will not back a government headed by this party. There are strong sympathies for the protesters in the army, and a lot of that actually has to do with the monarchy. The king is very, very old now. He's in extremely frail health. Nobody really expects him to play a role. I don't think he's capable of it. But there are real anxieties among large numbers of Thais, but particularly the middle classes here in Bangkok, about the fact that there's about to be a profound change, that when the king is no longer there, that the immense respect he had simply won't be enjoyed by any of his successors. And therefore, the system that's been erected with the idea of a very virtuous and revered king at the very top will be very fragile. And I think that makes these middle classes, who've done very well out of the economic growth in Thailand over the last 40, 50 years, feel very vulnerable, because you've got all these country people who support the government of Yingluck Shinawatra, who are demanding, you know, more government funds go to help them, to give them the cheap health care they've got from this government, the subsidies for rice, all these things, and that these people don't have much respect for the old system and may not even have that much respect for the monarchy. So these are very unsettling times for those in Thailand who are used to being at the top of the pile. I think they really fear that there's a serious shifting of the sands taking place, and I think that explains some of the emotions behind these protests.
Jonathan, for people who haven't been to Bangkok, it is a huge city, a very hustle-bustle city. It's got big skyscrapers, it's got big hotels, lots of restaurants, a lot of tourists, and a huge airport that would make most of the airports in the United States look pretty small. That was shut down once before, and that caused a lot of problems. Is there any sense that the airport could be shut down by the protesters?
No one is ruling that out, but, you know, in the end, although these protesters are very dedicated and, you know, they've really pushed as far as they can, they're also pragmatic. I think the army has made it clear it doesn't want the airport shut down. That was catastrophic for Thailand's economy and its reputation when you had so many people stranded back at the end of 2008. There have been some threats from more militant members of the protest movement that they might consider that. And so no one's ruling it out. But I don't think that's on their target list at the moment, not yet anyway. And it's worth remembering that, you know, although the city centre has been shut down, tourists are able to move around fairly freely. They're being treated very well. They're enjoying these protests. Most of Bangkok is relatively unaffected. This is a high profile protest, a very ambitious one, but they are conscious of the fact that big business and their middle class backers don't want the economy completely ruined. It's a high wire act. And I think there are those among the protesters who want to go a lot further. They've also talked about closing down the stock exchange. We'll have to see whether they do that or not. But for the moment, they've been quite careful about what they target. They don't actually want to burn their own house down.
The BBC's Jonathan Head joining us from Bangkok, Thailand. Jonathan, thanks so much.
Nice to talk to you, Jeremy.